What's up, y'all?
My future isn't determined by where I currently reside. Understanding your worth will put pride in your stride. I'm accountable to my call. There's no compromise. I set my own bar, and you better know it's set high.
It's giving what it's supposed to give. Ooh, stop playing with them.
Cool. All right, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of It's a Perspective, the show dedicated to uncovering different perspectives through dope conversation. Today, we have a special guest. He is a man that wears many hats. Let me take you through some of the things that he does. He's an entrepreneur, activist, business owner, collaborator, musical artist, leader, philanthropist, owner, educator, community builder, and the list goes on. He is truly taking charge and leveling, making his mark on the world by starting with his community. I want to give JB his flowers before we get started for his determination, as I've had the pleasure of collaborating with him on several different events, and he's actively making strides to just build his community overall. And if that wasn't enough, he is a father as well. So please welcome my bro JB. What's up? How's it going?
It's going good.
We got an audience here, so you can clap. Yeah. Okay, so before we get started, I like to start with That's My Jam. This is a segment of my show where you can play a mantra or a song you can't resist jamming, dancing, or singing to. So what you got for us?
Well, you didn't say mantra, you said a jam.
Okay, well, it can just be a jam. I won't say mantra.
Okay. And so, I think this song is a jam to me. It might not be to anybody, but it's 93 Till Infinity.
93 Till Infinity. Go ahead and drop that for us, DJ.
I guess like the catalyst was music, you know what I'm saying? I as a kid, like growing up, I always felt like I was different, didn't fit in. And whenever I found music, I found something I was good at. I was never good at nothing. You can ask my homies who know me since fifth grade. I couldn't jump high, I couldn't run fast, I couldn't none of that stuff. But I could rap, you know. And so that was like, you know, what I used to, I'm sorry, I have to talk out of it. So rap was what I used to like relate to people and I guess like gain a platform. And from there, everything else was natural progression. But yeah, I just was just a kid over here, just single parent home. You know, my mom does come outside sometimes.
Okay.
I take that back. When I did go outside, I was the kid outside that, you know, like the homies would be like, man, you better go inside. Your mama come out here tripping with all of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the average kid growing up, look, I'm still on the inside. That was me.
So I think that's really huge because you said that you were essentially average in a way, but you have a career and success that's not average. So what can you tell, I guess, kids on the east side who believe that they're average, but they want to do something that's bigger than themselves?
You know, I would just say, what it was for me is that I just realized that it came to a point in my life where I realized the world was way bigger than my apartment complex, way bigger than my block, way bigger than my neighborhood, way bigger than Oklahoma City. And so, it's okay, it's all right. It's all right. And so when I realized that, you know, that's what helped me see, you know, possibilities, what was possible. But I had, you know, I've had help along the way. I've had people along the way who believed in me. I had people that I looked up to. I had people that, you know, poured into my life too. So, I definitely can't be like, it was all me, I did this, and you know what I'm saying? That's not the case. Like, there are so many people from the time I was a kid to where I am now that, and even still, you know, that
pour into me.
And had it not been for, you know, just little things, you know, I wouldn't be where I am. And, you know, those things help give me character, you know what I'm saying? All the hardships, all the struggling, all the BS that I seen and went through, you know, also help, you know. That's what's up.
So just get community around you is basically what you're saying. Even if your family doesn't know how to support you, find somebody who does and who can pour into your vision and your dream.
And you know, let's just say with music, you know, like the majority of my family didn't pour into it, never really, you know what I'm saying, they didn't understand. It took a while till I got to a certain point. But I will say, from day one, my mom was always believing in it. Whenever I was 5, she bought me a keyboard. Whenever I was 10, she bought me a microphone. When I turned 15, she paid for studio time.
She always,
you know, just like nurtured and poured into my dreams and my passion. And then just, you know, on top of that, just people who, like I said, believed in me and saw something special in what I was doing.
That's what's up. Okay, so this next question I'm going to ask because I believe everything happens for a reason, but I want to know if you genuinely believe that if certain aspects of your life didn't happen, would you fight as hard as you do for the community now?
I don't know, because I don't know that I would know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, if certain things didn't happen or I didn't experience certain things, I don't know that I would know.
Yeah.
Or, because for me, it's always something happening or seeing things that are wrong or seeing injustice and wanting to fight for, you know what I'm saying, or fight against injustice, I should say. So I don't know if that's true. I think a lot of the things that I've seen that have happened have helped me see, you know, we gotta do something. Like, even with Eastside Pizza House, you know, had that grocery store not closed.
Yeah.
Had, you know, people not been calling the Eastside a food desert. I don't know if I would have the thought to start doing Eastside Pizza House or start doing Scramble, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
I will kind of say something.
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
And even whenever people were saying that Eastside was a food desert, you know, I learned that the Eastside is not a food, it wasn't a food desert. It was a food apartheid. And the difference in a food apartheid and food in a desert is, a desert is created by God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's natural. An apartheid is created by man, and it's intentional.
Yeah.
And what was happening to people on the Eastside wasn't God, it was man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It was intentional. Our people were stripped of resources, were stripped of provisions intentionally. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
it's a food apartheid.
Okay, so thinking in that vein, how do you consider those who may not know? Because you said if you had different circumstances and you would think you wouldn't know about the different things that are happening in this community, how do you reach those people who may not know what's going on in the food desert, if you will, which is, like you just said, not a desert, but how do you reach those people who may not know because they're in a different environment? Yeah,
I think, I'm a firm believer of, you know, not beating somebody over the head, you know, even though I'm a firm believer of, you know, it's like, people have to have a God moment. I can't go out of my way. I can't argue somebody into believing anything, what I'm trying to say. But I think, you know, once I've said it, once I've shown, but it's up to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And after that, if somebody don't believe it or whatever, they're refusing to see what people are going through.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that lets me know what kind of person that is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's good. And I think that's the whole point of this show is it's reaching people who may not understand different perspectives because we are so far apart from each other in so many different ways of life that sometimes people's stories or things that they tell them, they don't believe it at face value, but that's not what you're supposed to do because everybody is living the same experience in some ways. Like we're sitting in this interview and we're having a similar experience, but you're experiencing something different, I'm experiencing something different. So, you know, understanding people in that lane, I think would be so much better for us as people. So for this next question, it's a two-part question. Had you always known that you wanted to be multifaceted and have your hand in multiple projects and businesses?
No, I didn't always know. Remember I said in the beginning, I never know what I'm doing until I'm doing it.
Okay.
But if I see something that needs to be done, I try to do it.
Okay.
So I didn't know. And there are times, like even today I was stressed out, I was done. And it was because I was doing, you know, 10 different things that required 10 different things, you know what I'm saying, from each one. So I wouldn't wish that on nobody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, I only have one opportunity, one life. It's not a practice life, this is it.
Yeah.
So I gotta do all of the things.
Yeah.
But as a growing up, I didn't, that was not, you know what I'm saying, who I was or what I thought. Growing up, I was like, you know, I was like everybody else. Like, you know, it was me. Did I mention me?
Yeah.
You know
but how did you change your mindset? Because that's something very huge,
When you see things, that changes your mindset.
Yeah.
When you see injustice, that changes your mindset.
Yeah.
When you go through things, that changes your mindset. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What was your breaking point though? Where you said, stop saying it's me, 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 and start saying, let me look outside of me.
You know, I would say, that's, I don't know. I know you tried to give me this question before, and I was like, nah, I don't want to go on before, but I think my breaking point was probably, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Probably like 15, 20 years ago. Because I realized that I wasn't the only one who felt the way I feel, who has gone through what I've gone through, who has done what I've done. And then I realized not only that, but there are people who are dealing with all the bullshit that I dealt with, and I grew up around and had to live through and fight through, that didn't have music, that didn't have, you know, that didn't meet a certain person in their life that helped change the trajectory of their life, you know what I'm saying? That didn't have a certain opportunity. And so when I realized that, I was like, yeah, like then that's when things changed. So I realized, yeah, there are people like me, because I look at my life and, you know, and where I come from, yeah, I should be dead in jail, you know what I'm saying? Walking the streets, a bunch of things, you know what I'm saying? Like, strung out, whatever, but I'm not. But there's no difference in the first 15, 20 years of my life with somebody else who is those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I realized that, I was like, you know, I gotta do something different.
That's good. That is really good. But speaking to that, you know, we have two powerful figures from Oklahoma, Ms. Clara Luper and Mr. Ralph Ellison, who are on the wall. What do you believe is needed to continue their movement?
I think we need to continue their movement is just following in their philosophies. You know, Ralph Ellison, you know, how he found his love for literature and love for writing was through struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It was through the things that he went through. And he took that and changed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ms. Clara Luper, you know, her philosophy came from her faith and her love for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she took those things and, you know, impacted a whole nation. So I think it's, you know, following those philosophies. And I guess I can say it like this, like, you know, you might meet people who say, I'm a part of my environment, right?
Yeah.
But more often than not, the person who's saying that is sitting in jail or they're out on the street, they're like, how'd you get here?
Yeah.
I'm a part of my environment, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a part of my environment too.
Yeah.
She's a part of her environment. He's part of his environment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, showing the world that your environment, you know, doesn't have to define your future. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's real.
And that was good. Thank you. and that's it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That really was really good. I think that pushing the narrative that you being the product of your environment means that you have to be sitting in jail or have to be walking the streets is one that needs to go. Because I feel like in some ways, our culture pushes those people forward instead of the people who have actually rose out of the concrete and become a success story in their own right.
And I'm not special. I've sat in jail before too. You know what I'm saying? I'm not special. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've sat in jail before. I did all that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, that's real. So let's do a little shift, a little bit about your personal brand. What do you feel moved the needle for you to grow your personal brand in person, through community, and through social media?
I think my brand is trash, but I don't have a good brand. I think, you know, really it's just, if I'm honest, I just learn and try to keep the same standard of the people that I like.
Yeah.
So what that means is like, I don't, you know, I can't elevate to another level if I'm only watching people who are on my level.
Ooh, that's good.
If I'm only like, you know, trying to keep up with the people who are on my level.
That's good.
And worrying about who I'm, you know what I'm saying, better than. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how, that's, you know, crabs in the barrel.
Yeah.
And I think it was Jay-Z who said, why are crabs in the barrel?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I try to, everything I do, I try to do it to a standard, to a level that is above where I feel like I am or where I see myself.
Yeah.
And make sure that everything I do, everything I touch, everything I'm a part of is, I like to say, industry standard.
Yeah.
When I think about, if I think about my music, the music industry, entertainment industry, restaurant, the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
Like, who are the people that, you know, let's just say music, right?
Yeah.
So like, generally, you know, we're in Oklahoma City, so you there's an idea that, you know, we're local rappers, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're local musicians. And so for that reason, when you have that, then that causes those people to try to compete with the other local people.
Yeah.
But I've always tried to remind myself, I'm not competing with local rappers, I'm competing with people who are in the industry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, I try to make sure everything I eat, restaurants, whatever, business, whatever, I'm trying to, everything needs to be to a certain standard and not just good enough. You know what I'm saying?
Good. Yeah. You gave me a Jay-Z bar, I gave you a Jay-Z bar. I'm gonna butcher it a little bit, but he said you have to judge your level of success by the people who are also successful around you. So you built a pizza house, which we're in right now, but you also helped build Scramble. And so you and your homeboy, who you grew up with, built it. How was doing that with someone you grew up with in this community?
It was awesome, like, it's, you know, and the cool thing about it is, it's like, I remember sitting there dreaming and thinking about, I remember going to Houston, Atlanta, LA, San Diego with him and visiting places and thinking, we gotta bring this kind of vibe to OKC.
Yeah.
Not just to OKC, but to where we grew up, you know what I'm saying? And all that, so it's been awesome. And then, you know, just to watch the community embrace it, not just embrace it, but take ownership of it and say, this is ours.
Yeah.
The same with Eastside. It's like, I love how the community says, this is ours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. That's good. I'm glad that you guys built something that, you know, the black people of Oklahoma can come to.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's been missing for a long time. And you guys are building East Point, which will be the whole 23rd Street, right?
Yeah. And we're working in a hotel across the street too.
Okay, so, that's something that I did. That's huge. Y'all,
the hotel will have retail space at the bottom, but we'll have more shops and more retail, have a rooftop pool and event space and all that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
whoa. Y'all heard it here first. So listen, like, a hotel across the street from Eastside Pizza House.
And all that is, you know, when you think about how we do Juneteenth and all that, like, it's gonna flow. You know
it's gonna grab right
it's
on
gonna,
in.
Yeah, it's gonna flow. So.
Yeah. Speaking of Juneteenth on the East, you built that project, 3 years ago?
2021.
Yeah, so about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
How did you come to understand that there needed to be a different celebration that was happening in the heart of the East Side of Oklahoma?
Well, I had a meeting, actually myself and my friend, Marie Cassidy, who's on our Juneteenth committee. One of the the parks in Oklahoma City called us to a meeting and talked and had a conversation about doing a Juneteenth festival at the park.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Yeah.
This is a tough part. I'll just tell you what it is. And so we're at this meeting, and they're telling, have all these ideas for Juneteenth. There's only two black people in the room, me and her. And they're telling us what they think Juneteenth should look like and how it can help their park. And I'm just listening to this shit, and I'm like, what I ended up saying was, I was like, I don't think this is a good idea because there was no black programming at the park.
Yeah.
No black event, nothing for our community ever.
Yeah.
And I said it won't seem right. I said, hey, we won't even know where that park is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for Juneteenth. And so Maria and I left, and I didn't even know her at the time. Mm-hmm. They pulled the black folks they knew, put them in the same room. Mm-hmm. And so she and I left, we walked out together, and I looked at her, and I said, we should do our own Juneteenth. And she was like, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And so after that, me and her just went hard and did it.
That's so dope. I think it is so pivotal that you guys decided to do that, not only because it brings the community together, but also it sets the bar that, black people don't have to subscribe to the plight of what you believe our Juneteenth experience should look like, because Juneteenth is a celebration for us as people.
And I'm going to backtrack, but also, the year before that, they had, and I will, to their credit, they took my advice. They've been doing, concerts and stuff for our community, and, so that's cool. But I'm not taking credit for it.
Yeah.
They're doing it now. But, I think about the very first, so 2020, we had the first one over here in 2021.
Right.
So 2020, they had a concert scheduled on Juneteenth at the park.
Okay.
It was a regular concert, part of their summer series, whatever. And they had me book the headline. And so me knowing it's on Juneteenth, I'm like, bet I could do like a whole Juneteenth theme for my set and all these things, right? Well, that was the same year that Trump went to Tulsa for Juneteenth at Black Wall Street, right? And so after that, everybody knows about Juneteenth, right? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, that's this cool holiday called Juneteenth. And so then they start backtracking, and they're like, yo, we think we should do something for Juneteenth. And I emailed them back, and I said, listen, I already had something planned for my set for Juneteenth. If you weren't going to do anything, you just shouldn't do it. You didn't plan on doing nothing, don't do nothing. And they were like, no, we got a group of diverse bands. And I said, listen, Juneteenth is not diverse.
Right.
It's black.
Come on. You gotta say that.
And so they ended up canceling it, not doing it. But to your point, I was having to say, like, people need to understand, like, women sit down.
Be humble.
You know what I'm saying? And give black people the platform and the stage and the floor. That's why ours, like when we get, Sunny knows, Sunny's here, she's in our community, she's like the backbone. But we get submissions with all these different, white groups and white bands and white this and Mexican and all these. I'm like, listen, like, this is your chance to prop up black people.
Yeah.
This is your chance to promote and get behind black people.
Yeah.
Because you're not gonna go to the Cinco de Mayo and see a bunch of niggas on stage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
You're not. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna go to what's the holiday they do downtown with the green? And she know niggas on stage.
Fourth of July.
Black people on stage. You're not about to do that.
Yeah.
But when it's MLK Day and all this black stuff, they want to like center themselves somehow all the time. And so I'm just like, no, we're not doing that. We're not ever.
Okay.
To our point, you know, we have white people on our committee, and all they do is help prop up and give platform to black people.
Yeah.
Because they understand it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so you mentioned creating a space for people to promote black people. Can we do that outside of Juneteenth? Because I believe that there, in some ways, that people believe that we only get a few holidays.
Yeah.
And I don't even think a few. Maybe MLK Day, like you said, and maybe Juneteenth, and that's about it. But we need space.
Yeah.
We need spaces and places February. For that. Oh yeah. Well, we barely get that.
Yeah, February.
We only get 28 days.
What's crazy is like February is the most is the busiest time of the year for me.
Yeah.
Because you have everybody wanting you to come and explain black culture to you.
Yeah.
And so I made a rule in 2020, I made a rule that I would not do anything in February for white people if they're not paying me. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
But to your point, you know, and it's hard to explain this to people who aren't black.
Yeah.
But we are black every single day.
Yeah.
We can't take it off. We can't, you know what I'm saying? We can't walk in the room, you know what I mean? But there are people who can code switch and do, you know what I'm saying? But we aren't one of them.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, yeah, you're right. That's something that we highlight and celebrate all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, I know that the Bible says, you know, talks about pride, but when I talk about being proud of being black, it's from a place of humility, because as black people, we since the day we got to this country, we've been told where to live, how to raise your kids, where to go to school, how to worship, where to worship, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's real.
You know what I mean? And so, whenever you take ownership of yourself, you have knowledge of yourself, then there needs to be some sense of like honor in, you know, who you are and who your people are. And that should be okay. That should be okay. Especially in a world where we are, where our blackness is profited on, where our blackness is exploited,
weaponized.
Where our blackness is pimped, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So when can we develop something or come together or create a space for people like that? Because you seem to be the spearhead of most of these things that happen, I mean, at least in Oklahoma. So how can we make something like that happen where people feel like they can come together as people and not have drama? Because Juneteenth on the East doesn't have drama. I love when we can all come together and not have any type of strife or anything like that, but like minds come together and develop.
You know, I think it's something, we do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, and that's one thing I'm learning. So, for instance, Juneteenth, we created a nonprofit called With Love, which is an art nonprofit that puts on Juneteenth. And so our first project for With Love was the murals on the market.
Yes.
And when we went to the city about those murals, they were like, well, what about gang graffiti? What about this? What about that? Like, they're gonna, you know what I'm saying? And what I said was, it's like, we like nice things too. Just like y'all like dope-ass murals in Midtown and all these different, we like nice stuff too.
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen. And it's never happened.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To any of our murals, the Mid-K mural, none of our murals have ever have ever been tagged or defaced. And the point I'm getting to is this, is that whenever people, especially black people, because black people are the moral compass of this country.
Yeah.
But whenever people you do things that raise the morale and gives people ownership, they take care of it and they appreciate it and they treat it like a safe space. Mm-hmm. That's why Juneteenth is a safe space, because they know when they come on 23rd on Juneteenth, there's no static, there's no nothing, there's no issues ever, because this is ours, we're going to take care of it. You understand?
That's good.
You know what I mean?
That's good. Okay, before we hop off the subject of, you know, kind of creating our community, so how did you fall into activism? You leading the charge for Julius Jones, you now have Live Free OKC. How did you fall into that?
Just seeing injustice, you know. And like I said, when you see injustice, like, it's, and for me, it's hard just to, because what I'm learning is that a lot of times people only want to jump in and organize whenever it becomes personal. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this is my homie. This is my brother.
Yeah.
This is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is, you know what I mean? But whenever it's on TV or it's not connected, you're just watching it, you know. But seeing injustice, like, there's a burden in my spirit, in my heart, and I just can't sleep at night, you know what I'm saying? And so, I feel like I've been given a voice and a platform, and I would be squandering it if I didn't use it the right way, if I didn't use it to fight injustice.
That's good. Yeah. Well, we're glad you're doing that and leading the charge on that, especially for the people in OKC. So, switching it up a little bit. So, the celebration this weekend is your vinyl release.
Yeah.
And so, what has music done for your self-expression?
It's done a lot. It's done a lot. I think that, you know, if it weren't for music, I wouldn't be writing today. But also, you know, I get to get things off of my chest, you know, pain, heartbreak, you know, everything. But anything I'm going through, I get to like express it. And most times I feel like, you know, it's just for me and people are listening. But then, you know, every so often you come across somebody who goes, man, like, man, I knew that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've learned that, you know, with my music, it's not just about me, you know what I'm saying, sometimes. So, but yeah, like.
That's good. I'm glad that, I like to say it like this. Most of the things that we do are not only for us. Of course, we want to receive success. Of course, we want to have some longevity in whatever career we're doing, but 90% of the time, the things that we're doing for us is actually for somebody else. Yeah. It's to help them in their journey and their leveling up. I'm glad that you are continuing to have your self-expression in your music, activism, community building, everything.
It's about to get bigger and better, too.
Oh, yeah. So why was it important now to release the vinyl of Am I Good
Enough? To press vinyl, it takes about 6 to 8 months.
Okay. Yeah.
And slide the way for it to come in was the main thing. But, you know, had I known what was ahead of me, which you know about, had I known what was ahead of me, I probably would have did it before.
Uh-huh.
But it's, you know, had I not done this, I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah, in due time. Everything is in due time.
And so, you know, right now, I just, like I said, I always try to do things at a certain standard. And, you know, since 2016, I put everything I've released out on vinyl. And vinyl sells the best for me more than anything else. Like, there's a huge market for it. That's why I try to, like, you know, not just drop an album, but drop art. You know what I'm saying? That's why I should have brought some. Hey, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
But you know, that's why it's, you know, I do like, when I create it, I make it cool. Damn, I should have brought it. Y'all trying to say it.
Yeah, I totally understand, you know, creating art. I feel like in this day and age, we don't get to see a lot of art. We get a lot of just fast-paced
songs. So like, the art is the vinyl, you know what I'm saying? Like, the colors, all of the things that come with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, the vinyl is a piece of art. I try to make it a piece of art, you know what I'm saying?
Well, for those that are in the room, if y'all would like to see it, y'all can come out tomorrow.
Tomorrow I'm at Factory Obscure for the vinyl release party, and doors open at 8, or 7, show starts at 8.
Okay, so what do you hope people gain from your impact?
I just hope people gain, you know, some motivation, you know, compassion and love for others. You know, those are the things that have, you know, motivated me, kept me going. You know, I hope when I'm done, like, people say more than, man, he liked to rap, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hope people say, like, man, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be right here today, or JB helped change my life, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I want my kids to hear that type of stuff when I'm going, you know what I mean?
That's good. Okay, so we got a few more questions here. I'm not gonna keep you for too much longer, but there's some important questions that I feel like I have to ask, as this is, it's a perspective. My mantra is change your mind to change your life. So I wanna ask, what mindset shift did you have to make, or are you currently making to change your life?
to change my life, I'm trying to be better with, you know, scheduling.
Okay.
Trying to be better with, you know, not saying yes to everything.
Okay.
I'm trying to be better at saving money.
Okay.
I'm trying to be better at, just, you know, protecting myself from, you know, things that could harm me or my business or my family.
Yeah. Sounds like you're trying to be more intentional.
Yeah,
with how you are living. Yeah. That's good.
I'm trying to be more intentional.
Okay, so what does passion mean to you, and what does purpose mean to you?
So I think passion is something that we should be able, I think everybody should be able to make a living from their passion.
Oh,
like,
good.
This is your passion,
you
should be able to make a living from it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what passion is to me.
Yeah.
You know, we all have giftings and talents, and oftentimes, you know, because, you know, the way the world works, we're like forced into doing things that we aren't passionate about.
Right.
Or that isn't our gifting or our talent.
Yeah.
God's giving you that gifting and that passion for a reason.
Yeah.
And so I feel like everybody at some point should get to a place where they are making a living and giving their families from their passion.
Okay.
And then purpose, I think purpose is, you know, the reason that we do all these things.
Yeah.
Right? So if I have a passion for music, I don't have a passion to just be, you know, because for me, at this point in my life, music is work, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have a passion for work, but I have a passion for music.
Gotcha.
And the reason I have a passion for music is because of the purpose.
Yeah.
And the purpose is to spread love, be a voice for people who don't often have a voice. The purpose is to fight injustice, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's the difference for me.
That's good.
Give
them a round of applause.
And I'm having a Jameson right now and saying my best.
giving bars on a Jameson. Okay, we need a sponsorship, Jameson, if you're watching. question right here that I'm about to ask is super important, because many people may know you and your success, but sometimes there are things that happen in your journey that can be deemed as an unfair advantage. I want to know, what was your unfair advantage in your journey of leveling up that happened specifically for you? And other people could think, oh, that was unfair, but because it was curated specifically for you, it was an unfair advantage that could, in other words, be said, my favor is not fair.
Come on.
What was that last part you said? My what?
My favor is not fair.
That's hard, because I feel like, you know, I've had to scratch and scrape to get around that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And everything I have, I've worked so hard for, you know, and you know, and that's kind of difficult, because a lot of times people will see me and be like, why JB? Like, man, he trash. Why JB? Because, you know, he this or he that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not knowing, like, where I come from, or who I am, or what I've been through, or what it took to get here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the only deity I can say has that favor, give me favor, is God. And I feel like we all have that.
Yeah.
And I feel like what the difference is that some of us choose to walk in it, and some of us don't. There have been days where I've prayed for favor. Mm-hmm. There have been days where I've prayed for doors to open it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I remember growing up and, you know, losing jobs and stuff like that, or getting fired. And, you know, mom would be like, man, God got you that job, we get you another one.
Yeah.
And I would pray for a job. I would go into an interview praying for favor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So even at that point, like, you know, all that favor isn't because of JB or because of anything other than like God, and I've like walked in it and I've prayed for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think that I'm just giving it. I truly believe that, you know, I've been blessed. And because of those blessings, it's important for me not to squander those blessings. It's important for me that I do what I can to bless others and take care of people and do things, or look out for people and, you know, just treat people right, because I've been blessed.
Yeah.
And God's given me favor in such situations. Not everything.
Yeah.
You know, I want to have favor at the state capitol to get certain people out of there, you know what I'm saying? But I don't have that kind of favor yet, you know, but I know there has been places where I've prayed in the absolute favor, where God has blessed and given me favor. And anytime man has favored me, I give, you know, honor and glory to God, because it's, you know, I don't believe it's JB. I'm telling you, I'm nobody. I'm, you know what I'm saying? You ask my homies, they left, but like, I've known since fifth grade.
Yeah.
I was the last person you would think to be doing anything I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? The last person.
But God uses the people that, you know, may not get that recognition in the beginning, and He turns it around for your good. One thing that I learned from my parents is that you not stepping in the favor that God has given you right now is still being disobedient to God. So doing it right now is the only option, especially if He gave you the provision and the forethought to get it done. So I love that so much.
Yes.
What's next for you?
What's today?
It's the first of the month.
So we have a lot of lead-free stuff we're working on. You know, we're trying to reduce gun violence in Ward 7, in Oklahoma City. We got the handling in the hotel opening, hopefully the next couple of years.
Okay.
I got music stuff happening. Yeah. I can't say a lot of it right now, but yeah, that's next too.
Okay, y'all. That means you stay tapped in with JB. That's what it means, because he has a lot of things in the works. And if you know him, and he just said it in this interview, that he does things on the spot when it happens, which is a really good thing. So stay connected with him. Stay tuned in to his journey, because it doesn't stop here. This is only the beginning, only the scratching the surface right
next,
now.
Next is Juneteenth 2024, hosted by the Shire. What should we get for next year? What should we get?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a lot of great questions. But we'll discuss it. If you could leave my audience with one thing, what would you say?
I would just say never give up. You know, 2012, you know, I was thinking about suicide, you know, and just in a dark place in my life, and wanted to give up. And right then, you know, God showed me so many things. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he showed me was to never give up.
Yeah.
And I always see it, you know, like when I sleep and I'm awake, I just see those words, never give up, because, you know, I wanted to give up at that point in my life, just be done. And, you know, God gave me my daughter. He opened doors, he gave me favor. You know, he showed me that my voice mattered, that my life mattered, you know what I'm saying? So I just feel like, you know, sometimes we get to that point, we want to give up, and if you just wait and let God show you what he has for you. You know what I'm saying? If I was out of here in 2013, like I wouldn't have a real legacy. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I would just say never give up.
That's so good. I'm so glad that you did not give up. And that you are here today to show and lead the people to light, essentially. And, you know, have a place like this, have a community like this. You know, God is working it out for you in so many different ways. And like I said, I'm going to give you your flowers right now, because many people can't do what you do on a day-to-day basis. And if they took one inch in your shoes, I ain't gonna even say a mile in your shoes, they wouldn't even be able to make it. So I appreciate you for coming on. I say keep your perspective, because it definitely looks good on you. Guys, if you tuned into this conversation, this is my first live show, and I'm so grateful that JB, who's been, you know, a collaborator on different events in OKC with me,
This is how I met the Shire.
Okay.
Real quick. So I got asked to do a spoken word at MLK, Martin Luther King event. And I was like, all right, bet. And they were like, we want you to do it with somebody else. We got this, there's this girl and she'll be good. And I was like, no. I do it myself. I don't need some amateur coming in. And they talked me into it, and I'm just so glad and so grateful that I listened and I was humble, and you know, I let them lead me, because they led me to the Shire, and she's been an amazing woman, and I feel like I've gotten to watch her grow the past couple of years, and I just, you know, as soon as we did that, and the next year we did Juneteenth, I was like, I got the perfect person to host our Juneteenth festival, and she's been amazing, and just Yeah, so, you know, just listen to God, man. Don't listen to God and be humble, because had I not listened to God and been humble and listened to my elders at the time, I probably would have never met, you know. I'm cool.
Well, I appreciate you for being persistent and listening to what people are telling you and listening to what God is telling you. Thank you to everybody who was able to come out tonight to the first. Next year, all right? So